You know, it's just everybody's exhausted and you just need to exhale. You just need a night to whew, and just breathe and just be in His presence and just be with other sisters and people that we can lift each other up. And that's what we're going to try to do tonight. But as I was thinking, and I asked Aaliyah if she's going to teach, and her and Errol may or may not. I don't know if they're going to share anything. We'll see. We're just going to, if you have anything, we're going to kind of do like Wednesday nights. You know, if you have anything, if God lays on your heart, feel free to share it with us tonight. It's just going to be kind of laid back and just, that's why we've got the quilts out here. We want it to be like a homey atmosphere. We want you to feel at home tonight. Let's start in a word of prayer. Linda, will you open us up in prayer before we start, babe? Amen. Amen. I hope I don't catch on fire literally tonight. These flowers are really dried flowers, so I can't stand still. I'm kind of like Sydney. I like to move and talk, and I can't see. I need bifocals. I can't see with them off. I can't see with them on. So we're just going to go with it tonight. But the thing that God kept impressing on my heart to share with you guys tonight, it's something that even as a young girl, growing up, and when I got married, I knew that I wanted my house to be a house of peace. I didn't always grow up in that. But I knew my house, I wanted to be a house of peace, and I didn't really know how, and I haven't done a lot of things right. I've done got a lot of things wrong, but one thing that God has shown me through my years and years of trying to walk with Him is that even in the ups and downs of life, He can be with us and give us His peace. He can give us that presence, that grace, that peace that passes all understanding. And He wants us to have that. And we live in this world, this sin-cursed world, where we have Facebook and everybody is Photoshopped. Not everybody, but for the majority, most of the time, we only see the good days, right? We see when the kids are smiling, the hair's brushed, the dog's acting right, everything's just lined up right. And we buy into this lie that that's the way every day is going to be. And real life is, God said He's going to rain on the just and the unjust. We have good things and bad things that come and flow through our lives. And God says, in all of this, I want to lay my peace on those who know me and are in relationship with me. In fact, I don't know if any of you take notes and or whatever, but we're going to be several different scriptures and several different versions tonight. But the first one I want to use is John 14:27. I'm going to read this one out of the King James tonight, but we're going to read all different kinds. Peace is so important. So important in our walk and so important in our minds and in our hearts. That in John 14, verse 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, but I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid." Whew. That's hard sometimes, isn't it? That's hard sometimes to let not our heart be troubled and let's not be afraid. That's hard sometimes. The Amplified Version says, "Stop allowing yourself to be agitated, disturbed, intimidated, fearful, full of anxiety, allow yourself to rest in His peace. Allow yourself to rest in His peace. The most valuable thing He could have left us when He was going up to heaven was His peace. And He knew that we were going to need it because we live in this unredeemed earth. And He was going to heaven where everything is perfect. Everything was perfect where He was going. He said, but what I can leave you, I'm going to leave you peace for this unredeemed world. In this time. Let's go, if you will, to Matthew 14. Matthew 14. I'm going to read this out of the Passion Translation. Like Sydney talked about it last night, and it's just like me and you talking. And he hasn't even translated the whole Bible yet, but you can actually go on Amazon and do the Passion Translation, and you can buy whatever books that he has, and they just come, literally like this. So I encourage you, that's another little side note for tonight, but when we're talking about different translations, that's a good new one that if you want to look into, it's good. Okay, when we go to Matthew 14, I want to give you just a little backdrop of what's going on in Matthew 14. In the first part of it, John the Baptist has his head cut off. He was the King Herod and come in and he was having an adulterous affair and John called him out and he put him in prison. And then his wife was so mad about it, she plotted to have him killed. And she had essentially had his head put on a platter to serve to the people. And we're going to go in verse, let me get my glasses. We're going to go in verse 13. And on hearing this, Jesus slipped away privately by boat to be alone. Even Jesus sometimes had to be alone. In his grief and in his pain, he went to be alone. But soon after, the people found him. He could not be alone. The people found him, and they come up and they had this huge meeting. Oop, about fell in. And had a huge meeting, and that's when they did the feeding of the 5,000. So he comes in, and he's sad, and he knew he's God, but he's still man. Does that make sense? Right now, he's walking as man. And he knows that things are going on that he can't do a whole lot about, or he knows it's in God's plan. And he feeds the 5,000. And he says, I just need to be alone again. So he goes, and he said, as soon as the people were fed, Jesus told his disciples to get into a boat and go to the other side of the lake while he stayed behind to dismiss the people or the crowds. And after the crowds were dispersed, Jesus went up into the hills to pray. And as night fell, he was there praying along with God. But the disciples who were in the middle of the lake ran into trouble, for their boat was tossed about by high winds and heavy seas. So they come up upon a great storm. Imagine you're in a boat and you're in a lake and you're all out alone and a horrible storm comes up. At about 4 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came to them walking on the waves. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified and screamed, a ghost. They didn't know what it was or who it was. I've never seen anything like that before. And then Jesus said, be brave and don't be afraid. Don't be troubled. I am here. Don't be afraid. Don't be troubled. I am here. One of the first areas that the enemy's going to try to come in and steal our peace is in our identity. Who we are. Who we are as women. God says we are more than conquerors through Him. But the enemy's going to come in, and one way he's going to try to steal our peace is get our identity. These were fishermen on a boat in a storm. That was not the first time they'd been on a boat in a storm. But this one was so fierce, and scholars think it went on for like 9 hours. 9 hours. They are clinging to life for 9 hours. And this is who they were, and they were afraid. The enemy's going to come in and say, I'm going to take you through a storm, and it's going to steal everything you think about yourself. And Jesus comes in and he says, don't be afraid. I am with you. It doesn't mean he's going to take every storm away. It doesn't mean he sometimes does, but it doesn't mean he's going to take every storm away. But he promises, I will be with you through the storm. I will be with you through the storm. He says, don't grow weary in well-doing. In Galatians 6:9, I'm not going to read it out of any versions. I'm just going to tell you what Galatians it says. It says, don't grow weary in doing well, for you will reap in due season if you faint not. Don't give up that you can have peace during your storm. Don't give up on that. We can't always focus on getting rid of the storms, but we can focus on how we react to the storm. We can focus on how we react to the storm. I don't know your stories, but I guarantee you everybody in here has a story. Everybody in here has times of good, and everyone in here has times of plenty. But we also have times of heartache. We also have times of sorrow. And God says, focus on how you react to the storm. And that's going to be the litmus of what peace you walk in when you go through these storms. And I believe when I was going and thinking, how have I maintained my peace? How have I, times, that I would love to tell you that there was times when I always walked in peace. That I've always had just great grace for peace. But looking back over my 28, 29, 30 years of walking this walk, I have not always walked with great peace. And the times when I didn't, there was usually two lies I was believing. And one of those was that I can only have peace when things are good. That's a lie the enemy would tell us, that we can only have peace when things are good. If I get the new house, if I get a good car, if my kids make straight A's, if they don't get in a fight this week, then I can have peace. But God tells us, I leave my peace with you for all the times. And so we can't buy that one lie that we can only have peace when things are good. And the second lie, it's kind of similar to the first. It's just a little twist, but it tells us, oh, we'll have peace when everything is perfect. Very similar in idea, that everything is going to be perfect. I love the little signs. I can't get it right in Aaliyah's house. Don't overlook this mess. I'm raising kids. What? How does it go, Aaliyah? Something like that. Happy kids. Yes. Don't stress on the things that society tells us. You know, it doesn't matter that sometimes your dishes get piled up. What matters is that little person sitting there with you. That's what matters. That little person that needs this little hug or this little thing. That's what matters. We're never going to have the ideal. We're not going to have the ideal husband. When it says the two will become, I know y'all hear me and say, oh, and we do have a great marriage. But let me tell you, becoming one is kind of hard. Because which one of us are we going to become? Right? Becoming one is not always easy. Not always. Because sometimes I want it to be like me, and he wants it to be like him. So my freshly married little young one right here, in becoming one, it takes a process. No, no, no. It's just starting. Huh? You just dirty clothes and all the other things. But he promises us, he said, it might not be ideal, but you can have a house of peace. Even if it's not. Man, look at the People magazine. Look at the magazines. Everything is airbrushed and nipped and tucked and turned, and Alyssa was wearing yoga pants, and I'm like, I'm not wearing yoga pants tonight. Not this 50-something-year-old. We ain't putting all that junk in something like that, you know? It just ain't going to go in all the right places, so we're just not going to go there. We're not going to do that. Y'all young ones do that. I can't see. Like I said, I'm driving, I can't see. I can't read without glasses. And I'm still in denial. I'm still not getting some of those things. But I know, I've learned that even though we don't have ideal things, we can have ideal peace. And we have to fight for it, ladies. If there's one thing in my home that I fought for and we strove to have, it's our house is going to be a house of peace. And that's going to be what sets us apart from everybody else around us that's in the world. It's how we go through. It says we're going to go through trials and tribulations and good times and bad times. But what do we do when we go through it? What is the world going to look at you and say? And I know they've always not always looked at me, and I've not been an example, but I want to strive for them to at least say, she's always had peace. Something, they may not can even say that. They may not can put their finger on it. But they're going to know something, even when things come against her. Even, you name it, what you're going through. There's some strength about her I can't put my finger on. There's something about it. Let's go to Isaiah 26, and this is going to be our what I call our cornerstone verse for the night. And it's not going to be long, because I want you guys to have fellowship time. I want you to have just loving on each other time. And I think God wants that tonight, too. I'm sorry. First, we're going to go to Matthew 22. I don't want to skip this. I was re-looking over my notes. Matthew 22. Oh, forgive me for that. Matthew 22. Where does our peace come from? He says it resides within us. But where does it come from? Matthew 22, verse 36. And we've been going over this so much in our church lately. And we've been focusing on the second part. But let's look at the first part of the commandment tonight. It said, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence. That's in the message version. You might say with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence. This is the most important, the first on any list, is to love him with our intelligence. I love that. Love him because in today's, with our kids, what we're teaching, with everything that's going on, we don't teach them to love God with their mind. Because that's one of the first ways the enemy, well, not one of the first, but it's one of the main ways he comes in our minds. And he tells us, the Greek word for intelligence is the way you process life. Intelligence is the way you process life. And he says to love me with all your intelligence. That means we put him first. We believe what he says first. We fill our minds. If you want peace, if you're not having peace in your life, ask yourself, what am I filling my mind with on a daily basis? What am I filling my mind with? Am I filling it? And I hate to just keep knocking Facebook and all this, but that is like a black hole to me. That's why you won't see me on it a lot, because when I do get on it, I can't get off. I'm like, and I'm just looking, and I love seeing all the pictures and stuff, but it can be like, I can get, look, an hour's gone by, and I've sat there, done nothing. And my mind is just do-do-do-do-do-do. And I'm not knocking TV shows. I'm not knocking all this stuff, but what are we filling our minds with? Do you fill your mind with things of the Lord? You know, music. I love, Greg Allman passed away this week, and it was a sad moment for us because I really love his music. And I like to relax to it out by the fire. I like the blues. I like all that stuff. But there is something about putting on a praise and worship that just stirs me inside. When I put on some Bethel, when I put on some Hillsong, when I put on all these things, there is nothing that anything else can do that for me. And when I begin, if I'm having issues and I'm feeling like I'm not having peace and I'm having a little bit of anxiety and I'm having a little bit of fear and I don't know what's going to happen and I don't know what's happening and why it's happening, I just know that when I put on that music and I spend a little time with him, there's a grace, there's a peace that comes in and fills me. Carlo, when you're in that hospital room right now and you don't know what's going on with Kenny, I know you know. We've talked. There's a grace that comes on you when you fill your mind with the things of the Word, the things of the Lord, the things of God. We have to guard our minds, and we have to be diligent about that if we're going to hold on to peace. Hold on to peace. Now turn to Isaiah. I know we had a lot of scripture tonight. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. And I hope, Lord, help me convey this. I heard this teaching on this part from Havilah Cunningham. Cunningham from Bethel. And it comes at such a timely space for us. I heard her teach this last week. Isaiah 26. Let me get my glasses. Says, He will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Him. Because God, get this, He trusts in you. I never thought that God trusts in me when I keep my mind on Him. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Let's go to the first part of that. He will keep you in perfect peace. The Hebrew, this is so good. Lord, help me. The Hebrew for perfect is shalom. And shalom means grounded in peace. So it says He will keep you in shalom. And then He will keep you in peace, which also means shalom. So He said God will keep you in shalom, shalom. Why do you think God repeated something twice? Shalom, shalom. Peace. Peace. Anytime He does that, it's to indicate intensity. Repetition indicates intensity. This is a kingpin. This is important. Open your ears, have ears to hear, and listen right here. The way Havilah said the Greek and the Hebrew are translating this, the best way to explain God in this situation is that there's a universal language. And if I come up to you, there's two words. I mean, one word for shh. And if I come up to you, and when Lee and Errol were running around, and they were in the back of the church, I could turn around and just do this, shh. And they knew, Mama is after me, she sees me, and she's about to get it. If I look at you and I say, shh, not one of you, all of you know as teachers, you know one shh. That's supposed to mean, sit down, be quiet, I ain't happy, this ain't getting it, sit down. But there's also, and I brought this cute little doll that all my grandbabies love. There's also a universal thing for what we do with babies. And what do? Eden does this, and we haven't taught her. Shh, shh, shh. Shh, shh, shh. And it brings comfort. And God's saying, when I say shalom, shalom, I'm not the God telling you, shh, I'm mad at you. Stop. You've done something. You've caused this. This is your fault. He's saying, shh, shh, shh. Let me wrap you up in my arms. Let me put my holy arms around you and bring you grace and bring you comfort. Because I see you. I see what you're going through. I know what's happened. I know. I see all things. And I want to wrap you up and say, shh, shh, shh. Whew. That's powerful. He wants to wrap us up and say, shh, 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 shh. I've got you. I've got you. That's the importance of shalom, shalom. Peace. The second part of that verse, he tells us, oh, that's good. The second part of that verse says, I will bring to you shalom, shalom, whose mind is stayed on me. My mind is stayed on Him. The Hebrew word, this is so good. This verse is so good. When you look up the Hebrew and the Greek, the Hebrew word of stayed means, literally means to prop up. prop up. God says, I want to bring shalom, shalom to those people whose mind is propped up on me. That's deep. Propped up on me. It cannot be sustained. It's like I have my books on this podium. My books can't stand here unless they're sustained by the power of this podium. And God said, I want to be that support to you. I want to be that undergirding. I want to be that prop that's going to hold you up when it rains and when it's sunshine. Let me be shalom, shalom to you. That's what I want to be. In Proverbs 3:5, it says, we are to lean not to our own understandings, but to trust God with all of our hearts and all of our minds. We're not always going to understand everything that goes on around us. But if we'll prop ourselves up and let our minds and our hearts be resting on Him, He says, I'll give you shalom, shalom. I'll give you that peace. And I don't know tonight if you need that Him to pick you up and say, shalom, I'm here, shh, shh, shh. If you need Him to help with parts of your mind that may have anxiety or fear or any issues that are not, you feel like are just not from Him, He wants to come in and be that prop for you tonight. He wants to come in. Will you start that, please, the song? That is literally it. If I could have just stood and rested on that Isaiah tonight, though. That's meat. I didn't get that. Havilah, she broke that off to me, and I just absorbed it from her. But I know that I know that He can be our peace, our perfect peace, our shalom, shalom. I know some of you may be so tired and you just needed a refreshing tonight. He's saying, let me pick you up. Let's just close our eyes a minute. Let's just listen to this a minute. Father, wrap each one up here tonight, Lord. I pray right now your comfort on each heart here. Thank you for leaving us with your peace. Thank you for not leaving us here alone. Thank you for your shelter in the storm, Father. You never let us go. Play it one more time, please, Cheyenne. We don't need to rush.
You don't even have to look up. You can continue praying where you are. One thing that the Lord has had on my heart and been dealing with me on, about 2 weeks, I started listening to, I don't even know why I broke it out, old DC Talk album. And one of the songs in there, In the Light, one of the opening lines says, I was just kind of struggling with, you know, why don't I feel a lot of peace right now? I just feel like it's just chaotic. And one of the first lines in there, it says, I keep trying to find the light on my own apart from you. And God said, that's what you're doing. That's why you're struggling. It's not because you're out living in sin and making all these bad choices and making these bad decisions. You're trying to find the light. You're trying to do the right thing. You're trying to raise good kids. You're trying to be a good wife. You're trying to be a good friend. But you're trying to do it apart from me. And he said, and that's where you're losing your peace, is because you're not trying to do it in me. You have the best of intentions. And I did, with my crazy schedule and everything else, I had the best of intentions. But he said, but if you'll learn to find the ways to abide in me and abide in my presence, even though your calendar looks the exact same, you can walk in that peace. Even when that storm comes that you weren't expecting, you can walk in my peace. You don't have to fix it yourself. You don't have to try to make it less chaotic yourself. You can find peace in the chaos. You can find rest in the chaos. And that's what I just want to speak over you tonight, is being able to soak in His presence, just letting it wash over us so that we can abide in His presence and abide in His peace. I was reading in Hosea today, which is probably the most random scripture for me to be in, I feel like. And it's where, if you haven't read Hosea, God tells him, you're going to go out and you're going to marry. You're going to take this prostitute to be your wife. And so he does it. He's obedient. She gives him some children and such. And it's honestly kind of a tough book to read, in my opinion, just because it's on and on and on about all the sins that they had been living in and da-da-da. But as I was reading, and honestly just kind of laborsome in it, like, all right, God, I know you're getting to a point in this somewhere. I know it's coming. And as I kept reading, there was one line out of literally four chapters of sin and how it was going to be cursed and how it was bad and da-da-da. There was one line, and it simply said, but I long to redeem you. He longs for that. He longs for us to come to him and say, I don't understand right now. I have a really bad attitude right now. I'm not walking in the peace. I'm not carrying your presence like I should be carrying it everywhere I go. But he says, I long. That is my heart's desire, is to redeem you. And I just want us to soak in that tonight, that he cares for us. He longs to redeem us. He longs to give us his peace, for us to always walk in it, for us to carry it everywhere we go, even when the storms hit and we don't understand anything that's going on in our life right now. He still longs to redeem us and longs for us to continually walk in his presence, to continually soak in that. So tonight, as you're here, God, I just pray, God, that right now you'd begin just to wash over us. Just let your rain fall on us, Father. Help us to set our face toward you so that no distractions, no storms can alter our identity that we find in you and in you alone. Not in what the world has to offer us, but in you. Not in what any of our friends, even if they have good intentions, not our spouses. We find our identity in you and you alone, Father. And we pray that you would just rain down on us tonight, God. We just soak in you tonight, God. You are ever-present help. And we know that we may not understand the storms. We may not understand our circumstances. But we know that you will never leave us. And we rest in that tonight, God. We find comfort in that tonight. And we're just asking that your peace would rain down on us, Father. God, just wrap your arms around us tight. We are thankful that we can be called your children. And tonight we just want to crawl up in your lap, Daddy. And we ask for your comfort. And we ask for your peace. And we know that when we ask these things in your name, that you give them to us. So we just receive them tonight. Help the walls that we've built around our hearts and around our minds to just come crumbling down tonight, God. So that we can properly receive you and receive your presence that you want to just invade our lives and invade our hearts and invade our minds. We thank you that you are a good, good Father and that you have good plans for our life. If you're not close enough to someone that you can touch them, scoot close so that you can physically put your arms around somebody. I just want us to love on each other for a minute and just soak in His presence. And just declare that, kind of like when Moses was in battle, and was it Aaron and Hur? And Aaron and Hur came up, and as long as his arms were raised, they were winning the battle. Well, after a little while, your arms are going to grow weary. Kind of like we all do when we're walking through life. We grow weary. And so Aaron and Hur came and propped up beside him just to hold his arms up so that during the battle, during the storm, during the horrible circumstances, he had support and they could win. And that's what I just see us doing tonight as we wrap our arms around each other and love on each other, is we're holding each other's arms up. We're being the Aaron and Hur for each other during this time of life that there may be uncertainty, or you may be in a storm, or you may just be exhausted. You may not have anything horrible going on in your life. You're just tired. And you feel like, I'm on my last leg. I got to have some strength here that only you can give. And that's what I just envision when I see us wrapping our arms around each other tonight. That's what we're doing. We're just holding each other's arms up and saying we're going to win the battle. Because we know He's won the war and we're going to win the battle. God, we just thank You tonight. We thank You for our sisters. We thank You that You have strategically placed these women in our lives to support each other and love each other. And if nothing else, just simply holding each other's arms up so that we can win the battle. We thank You for the support You send through our friends, through our sisters. We just speak blessings on each other. We just speak peace and hope. That as our arms wrapped around each other, God, that we would just begin to feel Your hope flood through us, God. That it would be like a tingling that starts in our fingers and goes all the way through our arms to our heart. And that it would just flow throughout our whole body, God, Your hope and Your peace that You give us. I pray that when we find those trying times and we find that we're exhausted, that we would find comfort in learning to lean on our friends and learning to lean on our sisters, that we could be there for each other and support each other for that. We thank You for these friendships made. And we just declare that they are only going to become stronger and stronger and stronger as we advance Your kingdom, as we set our sights on You and growing Your kingdom for Your glory, Father. We just love You, God, and we could never repay You for everything that You've done for us. We stand in awe of who You are. Not all the miracles You've done, not everything good You've done in our life. We simply stand in awe of who You are. You are the Alpha and the Omega. And we place all of our trust in You. In knowing that You are in control and You have the perfect plan for our life. And when our vision becomes cloudy and our hearts grow weary, we declare that we will not grow weary in well-doing. That we will run the race set before us. That we will be encouraged by each other. Encouraged by Your word and by the things You speak to us, whether through our friends or through our pastor or in our quiet time, we will be encouraged in that. That we will find our strength in You, that we will find our endurance in You to continue to run this race and run it well. We declare we won't come dragging in, Father, but we declare that we will be blaze trails for You in the kingdom. We just speak that over this house right now, and we declare that the women of victory and the women gathered in here this evening, that we are going to blaze trails for You and for Your glory and for Your kingdom. We ask for new vision, Father. We ask for new direction in our life. I know just in talking, a lot of us have felt, you know, kind of like we feel something shifting in our lives. We're kind of at, our lives are kind of at a crossroads, and we're not sure exactly where it's going, but we know something is shifting, and we declare that we are going to be on the forefront of this, God, advancing your kingdom. So we say yes tonight, God, to whatever plans that you have for us, we say yes tonight. We say yes to you and yes to your promises. We declare tonight that the promises that have been spoken over this house for years and years and years are going to begin to come to fruition. That we're going to start walking in those. That the time is now. We thank you for this community of believers, this community of sisters and friends. And we declare we're going there with you, God. We're going from glory to glory. That we're going to take this torch that you've given us and we're going to run for you. Give us the strength. Give us the wisdom. And give us the direction. Help our vision to be your vision, God. You are amazing, God. You are so holy. There is none that compares to you. We just love you, Jesus.
One thing I want you to get, this Jeremiah 31:3, I have loved you with everlasting love. I want you to leave tonight feeling that love, that he has loved you with everlasting love. Everlasting love. He longs to pour his peace out on us. But with that peace, we feel that love. Thank you for your love, Father, because you are amazing. You are amazing. Feel his love right now. We're not going to rush you. We take your time. We want you to mingle. And I'm a night owl, so I'll be here till the sun comes up. However long you want to be here, and we'll just... We have coffee. Yes, I was going to say we have coffee. The punch is decaf. So for us crazy older people, none of y'all in the 50s would know that you don't sleep if you drink a drop of anything. You don't sleep. So just enjoy each other. I thank you so much for coming tonight. And I pray whatever your need was, that it was met tonight by him and his presence and his love, that he'll be with us. He will never leave us. He'll walk everything with us, every day with us, because of his everlasting love for us. Amen. Does anybody have anything they feel they need to share? They want to share? Just share it amongst each other. I love you guys. Love you.